Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it is our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry, and to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. This is an object lesson today. This is a master course in how to grow an insurance agency. My guest, as you will discover, is a longtime client of mine. We've probably been working together for at least 15 years. He's a member of our mastermind group, so I see him three times a year, and he never misses a meeting. And as you will see, he grows, he's been growing, by his admission, 30% per year or more. I happen to know that in several of the last 5 years, it has been significantly more than 30% per year. His focus is primarily personal lines, with some exceptions to that, a growing commercial lines book of business. I don't have much to say about this until afterwards. If you want to hang on for a few minutes after my conversation with Mike, just leave your device open and I will share a few insights I have about this conversation. If you want to turn it off after the conversation with Mike, no hard feelings, but I have some insights and observations that might be worth sharing for those of you who are serious about organic growth. So, not much more to say about this guy, Mike Matheson. He is the founder, the leader, CEO, and president of Colorado Insurance, one of the fastest growing personal lines insurance agencies in the country, one of the darlings of his carriers, and one of my favorite people. So without further ado, allow me now to introduce you to Mike Matheson. Mike Matheson, so thrilled that you're with us today. How are you?
Michael, doing great. Glad to be here today.
Well, first of all, thanks for sharing. This is where I think we should start, because your agency is in some ways a little bit different than so many agencies across the country or across North America, and yet it's so much the same. It's, it's kind of a Main Street agency. You've got a very strong emphasis on personal lines, and yet it is a premier agency, obviously highly recognized by your primary carriers, highly rewarded, and it operates very, very smoothly with a consistently high growth rate. So let's start at the beginning. Real quick thumbnail on how you got into it, and then let's talk about what the agency does and what it does differently.
Perfect. I got into the business back in 1990. I know, right? Long time ago. But I was looking for a industry where the residual income was going to take me to levels that I hadn't seen before. I previously to that, I was in the real estate business, and that's pretty much you have to continue to sell, and if you're not selling, you're not making any money.
Right.
But in the insurance industry, a little bit different, right? So my uncle had been in the insurance industry back east, spoke to him. He recommended it. He said, get into it. It's a great business. So I got in 1990 as a captive with a little company out of Bloomington, Illinois called Country Companies. So I was a captive with them for 6 years, did very well. The training was outstanding. And then in 1997, I decided to step out on my own, and I started an independent agency. I actually purchased a very small book of business, about $1.2 million in premium.
Right.
A very small book of business. That's kind of how I got started. Of course, I paid too much for the darn thing. It wasn't, but that's beside the point. looking back now, it was a bargain, right?
Right.
So things really morphed from 1997 to 2001. I had a couple of business partners. Things worked. Things didn't work. By the time I got to 2001, I pretty much had a very good handle on the independent agency system. And I knew what I wanted to do at that point in time. So I started this agency that I'm in now in 2001.
So that was that a scratch agency that you started in 2001?
Well,
you took
no, it was a, yeah, it was a scratch agency back in 1997.
Got it.
And then I purchased that small book of business.
Okay.
So I did bring some business with me in 2001, but
okay,
for all intents and purposes, it was, you know, a very small agency.
All righty. So 2001, now you're on your own. Am I right about that? No partners?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. Nope,
and you're ready to rock and roll, and you had some vision of what you wanted to do.
I did. So my training at Country Companies was outstanding training, and I knew that if I would just focus on one thing and do it really well, that would be where success would happen for me.
Okay.
That one thing was personal lines insurance.
Got it.
Auto, home, umbrella, toys. Toys are boats, motorcycles, RVs, yada, yada.
Okay. So I have to stop and ask you a question.
Sure.
Well, when somebody says something was outstanding, I'd like to know, you know, what was so good about it? So that Country Companies training.
Sure.
What'd you pull out of it?
Yeah, it was the relationships that you build with your clients.
Got it.
Is really
okay.
What. So they taught you to go in and sell the auto, home, umbrella, and toys.
Yeah.
And sit at the kitchen table at 6:30, 7:30 at night and pivot. That was a big thing, pivot to life insurance.
Got it. All right.
And every morning you had to meet with my sales manager, and I would have to tell them how great my appointment was the night before, how many referrals I got, how much life insurance I sold, and that was the way the game was played. And you had appointments 4 nights a week and then appointments on Saturday.
Okay. So there are a couple of things that you said that I love. Number one, the captives have been extremely smart about the value of cross-selling multiple policies and what that does to the relationship. They've also been really smart about the value of that magical life insurance policy. So so depth of relationship obviously was working really well. Of course, that model is not going to scale very well. So that's...
Well, you're absolutely right, because in this day and age, it wouldn't scale very well.
Right. Okay. And of course, it's limited to how many nights and weekends are you going to spend? Okay. So,
yeah. And of course, there are agents that certainly worked it a little bit differently. They would have clients come into their, like a doctor's office.
Right.
They would have clients come into the office and do it that way. That's certainly a way to do it, but I think it's limited also in scaling doing it that way.
Got it. Well, I'm allowed to laugh at this because I know that one of the conversations that you and I have frequently is you don't have enough to do.
Well, you set that up. It's all your fault.
Okay. My apologies. I'm sure I can find some things for you to do. So, all right. So then you had this vision of where you wanted to go. And it was focused on personal lines.
Correct.
Okay.
Not only was it focused on personal lines, but it's segmenting the business model. It's very important.
Okay.
Many personal lines agencies, the agent will sell and service.
Got it.
The agent will market, sell, and service. It's just, in my view, it's just not a model that you can scale. So the reason that I feel that one of the reasons that we're successful is because we've segmented our model.
And so what are the segments that you divide that into?
Sure. So if you break it down, an agent loves to sell. So let the agent sell. So let's have a complete service team that is there taking care of the clients, making sure that the renewals happen, making sure that clients are happy, so the agent can focus on what the agent likes to do best, and that's sell. That's hunt and sell.
Mm-hmm.
So if you break it down that way, the agent has one thing to do, and that's just go out and bring new clients into their system, into their funnel, and sell the client, close them, and then pass them off to their service team. So our model, for all intents and purposes, it's segmented based on that. That's what it is.
Got it. Okay. And you view your agents as entrepreneurs.
First and foremost, that's what we hire for. So I think you know this, Michael. About 3 years ago, I realized that I was hiring too many employees. And we now focus on entrepreneurs, hiring entrepreneurs.
And it
makes all the difference in the world.
Right. Okay. And so the responsibility of the entrepreneur, the agent slash entrepreneur, is to get new business.
Correct. So we have four core strategies in lead generating. So we teach them the four core strategies, and we train them. I mean, training is a big part of who we are now. We train them, and we mentor them, and we have accountability models set up to ensure that the new entrepreneur coming into our system is successful.
So
we take it one agent at a time, if you will.
Right. Okay. So as I recall, sometimes when you attend one of our mastermind groups, the Million Dollar Club, if there's something that you think that you could then transmit to your insurance entrepreneurs, you'll use that content to help them.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We want our agents to be successful, because obviously if they're successful, the agency is successful.
Yeah. And
it's pretty much it's a smooth transition.
So you train them in four methods for lead generation. Can you share roughly what they are?
And so, as I like to say, this is not brain surgery. It's pretty simple stuff. So, you know, I always kind of kid around, get a drum roll, but it's really easy stuff. So we teach them how to master the art of current client referrals.
Okay.
I mean master the art.
Right.
That means scripts. That means setting goals as to how many current clients you're going to get referrals from this week, this day.
Uh-huh.
So we really focus on current client referrals. It's a big deal.
Got it. Okay.
Natural market. So what we do is we have each agent on a Monday, they set out five sets of five business cards, one for each day of the week, Monday through Friday.
Right.
Tell them, don't go to bed tonight until you have given out all five of your business cards to people in the community, wherever you may be. If you're at Starbucks, give it to the people behind you. Give it to the people across the counter.
Okay, got
it. Five business cards a day, and that adds up after a month,
two or three. Right,
right.
So they're giving away 25 a week. They're giving away 100 plus
100
per
a month.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and believe it or not, it actually works. You get phone calls from them.
Yeah.
Oh, and you give them your 5-second commercial as you're handing them your card, of course.
Yeah, okay. And then, so then the phone rings and somebody says, can I ask how you found out about me? And they say, yeah, I was the guy sitting behind you at Starbucks. Okay.
Correct.
That's two. What's number three?
Oh, this is a good one. Near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
X dates.
Okay.
X dates. The agency has thousands upon thousands of X dates.
Yes, I know you do.
We divvy those up. And the beautiful thing about an X date is we have the year, make, model, VIN of all their vehicles. We have their name, date of birth, social security number, driver's license number, of all the drivers in the household. You know, it's an easy phone call to make.
So they reach out by phone, okay?
Reach out by phone.
And then I think I know what number four is, but...
Sure. The number four is building relationships with mortgage brokers.
Got it, okay.
And unfortunately, for some reason, our agents tend to lean that way, but we really teach them all four and highly encourage them to get good at all four, because it's a good flow. Then, if one is lagging 1 month, the others can pick up the slack.
So, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but do you know how many mortgage brokers your agency now has in relationship?
Sure. I don't know off the top of my head what the number is. However, we have technology that keeps track of that thing. It's called HiRise. So it's a system where if I'm an agent here at Colorado Insurance, I will plug in all the information regarding my relationship with this particular mortgage broker, and now that mortgage broker is mine until I go in and take him out because my relationship is no longer valid for some reason.
Got it. Okay.
So it's called HiRise.
It's called. And so, what is the promise that your agents make to the mortgage brokers? Because I know a lot of those relationships they've been around for a long time, and they funnel a fair amount of business. So the mortgage brokers take it pretty seriously. What's the promise that your agents deliver so that they do stand out from the crowd?
It's actually very basic. It's not
rocket science.
Not rocket science. Okay. Not brain surgery.
Yeah.
So we teach the agents, it's a script that goes something like this. Something along the lines that I would like to apply for the position to be the insurance agent on your team of professionals, because you have your closers, you have your appraisers, you have people that are in your organization that you rely on to run your business. I would like to be that insurance professional. And then from there, you go on to talk about the services that you provide to help them in their business for their clients with as it relates to insurance.
Got it.
So it's really that simple. And then you ask the mortgage broker to experience this. Let me quote your insurance so you can experience how I'm going to treat your client.
Okay, got it.
So it's not a big deal, but it works.
Right. And so in order to keep those relationships happy, what do you think you deliver on better?
Look, it's all about taking care of the client.
Yeah.
So you just have to take care of the client. So the mortgage broker sends over one of their clients and said, here's my client. They're buying a home. They're closing in 60 days, whatever it is. The agent is taught, okay, you've got to contact that customer immediately. You've got to contact them immediately and go through them. You go through over the phone. You talk to them about how this process is going to work, who you are, and what you're trying to accomplish. So it comes down to, you're going to love this one, price protection service. What is the most important thing to you? And
okay.
Of course, you know, we can go into that whole thing.
But, yeah, all right.
But yeah, that's kind of the way it works.
Got it. Okay. So, I mean, one of the things that's always so evident, Mike, in working with you, and by the way, in full disclosure, may as well tell people, you've been a client of mine for how long?
Well, of course, going back at least 15 years.
Okay.
And then I think I went silent for a year or so, and then I pulled out all that stuff that you would send me. I pull it out from under my desk and say, well, I better use this stuff.
Okay.
So,
all right. And so the audience may not know. I know your agency pretty intimately. Okay. So one of the things that always impresses me about the agency, about our conversations, was once again reminded when we took our mastermind group and you hosted one of our meetings at your shop, is that it's organized, is that it's very clear. That it's aligned around a few key principles, and there's no confusion about it. There's no doubt about it. There's no fuzziness about it. There are a few things that are just very, very clear, and it seems that you figured out, oh, here's a few things that work, and I'm just going to keep focusing on them and try to keep everybody else focused on them. What are some of those principles that you think have been so important to your success?
Well, of course, we've learned over the years.
Right.
Hiring the right people, hiring the right person is extremely important. So that helps. So we have a process there. I won't get into it. It's called Predictive Index. So okay. We use that, and we've been very successful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody understands when they come into our system what their responsibility is. If you're in sales, you know that you sell. If you're in service, you know that you service. And by the way, service people sell. We are a sales organization.
We'll get to the big five. The whiteboards.
Okay. Yeah. But we focus on hiring entrepreneurs, hiring people that want a career, not a job, whether they're in sales or service. Training is extremely important. We now have a company trainer. We actually have two company trainers, one for sale and one for service. And we have a whole curriculum that we go through, and then we have a follow-up part of that. So it's super important to make sure your people are trained properly. We focus on long-term success because, as I always tell people when they first, because I meet everybody when they first, the first day, I go in and talk to them because we have training classes. This is not a get-rich-quick business we're in. It's to get wealthy long-term.
Right. Okay. Got it.
But that's kind of some of the core things that we focus on.
Yeah. Okay. And now you're a number of people in your team, they are scripted.
Most everything is scripted.
Okay.
Most everything is scripted. And it's in our playbook.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a sense of business discipline. So, in other words, when somebody comes in, first of all, we want to hire the right person, but as you said, they get trained. How long are they trained before they can represent your agency in the public, whether it's service person or salesperson?
Sure. It depends upon their prior experience. If they do have experience, it's going to be one full week of training.
Got it. Okay.
If they have experience, then we put them in the system and they start right away, because generally speaking, they'll understand coverages, they'll understand our model as far as we don't write monoline homes and that whole thing.
Got it.
But if they come in without experience, they'll go through the week's training, and then they'll be assigned a mentor, and that mentor will stick with them for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And after the 3 weeks, they'll go back into the second tier of training for another full week. So that's 5 weeks then of training.
Got it.
If they don't have any experience.
Right.
Now, the end of the fifth week will generally be, they'll become part of the team at that point.
And is that true for the service personnel as well, or do they have a different model?
That's true for the service personnel as well.
Got
absolutely.
It. Okay.
And the service people are expected to be licensed. If they're not licensed when they come in the door, licensed after 3 months.
Okay.
We don't hire any agents without their license in their hand.
All right. And the service people, they clearly are scripted.
100%.
Got it.
And these, every because there's very little that you haven't heard before.
Right. Well, yeah, okay.
Repetition.
Having been in your shop, I recognize some of the things that they had to say. So
yeah, right.
I think they're working. So there's also a core principle of accountability. You've got a cadence of disciplines that hold people appropriately accountable. How do you do that?
So there's two ways we do that. On the sales side, everybody has a mentor and an accountability coach is what we like to call it. And for lack of a better, one of our tools is the core value tool. And the core value tool focuses on leads in the system. This is per agent. Leads in the system, close ratio, average household premium. And then setting goals. So with those four core values in the spreadsheet, if you will,
right.
That's how we hold people accountable. So when a person sets a goal and says, I'm going to do $30,000 in brand new premium this month, we talk to them, how did you get that $30,000? Where's that coming from? Why do you think you're going to get $30,000 in new business premium? So We really break it down and make sure that they understand it's not just numbers on the page. It's you have being held accountable for that.
Don't mean to interrupt you, but Mike, one thing that I know about your model is that you take the numbers really seriously. So, you know that one of the exercises that we'll often do in the Million Dollar Club is I'll challenge people about the health of their A-Core model. So in other words, attract, convert, optimize, and retain. And so we'll go through this exercise. How many people did you attract last month into your marketing funnel? What was your conversion ratio for them? How are you optimizing those relationships? So in other words, what's your policy per customer count or your revenue per customer count? And then the R, what's the retention? And frankly, even with seasoned agents, occasionally it's difficult for them to get clarity on that. You, on the other hand, can pretty much bring out a spreadsheet and not only reveal the number, but you can reveal the number per person.
Well, and you have to, because that individual person, salesperson, is an entrepreneur. That's your business partner in the system. They are holding me accountable for certain things with regard to the agency. And in turn, they've agreed to allow me to hold them accountable to certain things for their business. So it's a partnership that we're in with our agents. And we're holding each other accountable. If I wasn't doing my job as the agency owner, providing certain tools and processes, then I wouldn't be doing my job.
I'm going to circle back to ask you what your job is, but before I do that, I want to ask about now the service part of the organization. There's also a cadence of accountability with them.
Yeah, as you know, that we have a very clear, crystal clear process holding these service people accountable for activities and for sales, if you will. So we have a thing that we call the Big Five.
Right.
And at the beginning of the year, myself and the sales manager get together, and she gives me the numbers on what she thinks the Big Five should be on an annual basis for her team. And the Big Five are endorsements, cross-sells, reviews, current client reviews, life insurance, and current client referrals. So those are the Big Five.
Got it.
So she picks what she thinks they should be, and we've got a great relationship, so she knows that I won't take the first number she throws at me.
Yeah.
But we look at that, and then we break it down into monthly goals. And then from the monthly goals, she goes to her team, and she gets, and again, it's each team member, they give the customer service manager, Sarah, they give her their goals. And if their goals don't meet the monthly goals, then she talks to them and helps them modify them to meet the monthly goal for the team.
Got it. Now, so if somebody walks into the service room, it's very easy because it's there in black and white to know how everybody's performing that month.
Yeah, because each one has a whiteboard at their desk.
Right.
Updated daily, and then at the end of the month, it's really cool to see, at the end of the month, everybody gathers around the big whiteboard, and they add their numbers to the big whiteboard, and it's really refreshing to see, because if somebody isn't hitting their goal, it's pretty obvious what's going on, because generally speaking, there's a lot of clapping and hooray, and if someone's not hitting their goal, it's like, whoa.
The walk of shame. All right.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
So I want to circle back to something that you raised. As I recall, if you don't mind me telling this story out of school, at our last MDC meeting here in Arizona, I think you gave yourself an A for part of your job, but a C+ for a different part of your job. And I thought, it was really revealing how you perceive your job in the agency. How would you describe that?
Well, I look at my responsibility to the agency because I'm the custodian of the agency today.
Right.
Tomorrow there'll be someone else,
uh-huh.
Whatever that may look like.
Right.
But my two responsibilities are. One is to build the business, make it bigger tomorrow than it is today.
Right. Which got you, so as I recall, I think you deservedly gave yourself an A on that one.
Yeah, we're growing at a clip of 30% a year for the last 5 years running.
So yeah.
We're really running strong.
Or last year higher than that, but
correct. Yeah, correct.
Okay, so
we're running hard.
Yeah, running hard.
Fast moving train.
Yeah. So you lead the model. You're the engineer of the model, and you're driving that train. So it's moving very quickly.
I will say that's true. However, of course, we all know that you can't do that by yourself. You got to have good people.
You got good people. Okay. But you have another element to your job. What's that?
That is develop leaders.
Yeah.
And I gave myself a pretty low mark there because I've got a unique situation. I've got a lot of family members here that are leaders. I've got both.
Yep.
Non-family
yeah.
members.
Right.
And family.
Yeah, I know.
So I struggle with some of that. I've brought in some professional help, if you will,
uh-huh.
to help me be a better developer of leaders. So that's 2018's goal. And I, as a matter of fact, we're off to a really good start. There's a good sense of teamwork. There's a good sense of, hey, we're going to get this done together because we know we can't do it alone.
Right on.
So that's really starting to happen.
Okay. Okay,
I'm pretty proud of that so far.
And you take your team. You do something with them. You've got a retreat, as I recall, with your at least with the sales team, and maybe some kind of an award. So, right?
Sure. So we do a Diamond Club Award
every year. Right.
And the Diamond Club is you have to do 750,000 in new personal lines business.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot. That's like I don't know, what is it, 62,000 a month or something? Like
right.
That
okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
We had six people that qualified for it in mm-hmm. 2017, and we're all going down to Palm Springs for a week here in another month or two.
You and the Diamond Club.
Myself and the Diamond Plus One, so
right
everybody
on.
Brings their Plus
okay.
One.
Okay, got it.
In addition, we gave away a brand new 2018 4Runner, so everybody that got into Diamond Club as each month went by, as they hit their Diamond Club goal,
right.
they were able to put a ping pong ball in the bucket with their name on it.
Okay.
And so each Diamond Club winner had upwards of 12. Not everybody had 12 because some people had months where they didn't hit their Diamond Club goal, but they were still Diamond Club qualifiers.
Right.
So we had some with 9 ping pong balls, some with 12, some with 12. So. And we gave away a brand new 2018 4Runner to someone. So it was very exciting.
Yeah,
very
okay.
Exciting.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Then on the customer service side, we take them somewhere to stay vacation for a weekend because it's hard to do that over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but yeah, we're going down to the Broadmoor in 2 weeks.
Oh,
taking
nice.
the whole customer service team for the weekend.
Nice. Okay.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, no, that's terrific. All right. So, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. I imagine that some people are listening to this and thinking, man, that sounds like a great model because obviously it's working, but it's not my model. You know, maybe, somebody's not, you know, they have a different market focus or something like that, right? What do you think are the elements of a good model? Not necessarily yours, but just a good business model for insurance agents. What do you think an agency leader needs to pay attention to as they become the engineer, the architect of building the model for success? What are the principles?
Sure. Well, again, you can't do it by yourself. So you've got to bring good people. You got to surround yourself with good people. Second thing is probably as important, you've got to have clarity as to what you want to happen within your organization.
Uh-huh.
I've observed many organizations over the years, and in many cases, there's no clarity as to what the direction of the company is going. There seems to be, for lack of a better word, Michael, it's a little chaotic as to where we're really going today.
Right.
You know, yesterday we were going in this direction. Now, today we're going over here. kind of like a squirrel, you know.
Yeah.
So I think those two things, if you can, I guess, focus on those first, you're off to a good start.
Yeah, okay. And you've got a clear cadence of goal setting and objectives and accountability, and then around that you've developed systems that support it. So scripts and internal behaviors that support that.
Doesn't happen overnight. You've got to give yourself time, but you've got to stick with it. That's what I see a lot happening is, we tried it for a month, it didn't work.
How many people are on the team now?
We're depending upon the day, right? No, we're a little over 80 people, right?
Yeah.
So we're doing well. Yeah. We're growing substantially.
And you're going to have another good year.
We're going to have another great year. Okay. It's going to be a great year. Okay. Yeah, we got very high goals this year.
All right. So, I want to ask you it's a difficult question. Maybe difficult because it's a frustration for some of us, myself included. You've shared, or you and I have shared, your model before. We've opened the window, you know, pulled the curtains back, or in some cases opened the door and allowed people in, and they've seen, here's a model that works, and here are business principles that work. And they work so well that you can grow 30-35% or more per year. And yet, we both know that the percentage of those who execute on it, who make it happen, is sometimes astonishingly low. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Where, you know, when you've actually had people come to the agency and then, you know, then you find out they just didn't do anything with it. What do you want to say about that? What are your observations about that?
Sure. And I've actually given this some thought over the years because I have had people come here and spend time with them.
Yeah.
And follow up with them, you know, 6 months later. Hey, how's it going? Haven't heard from you. What's going on?
And
I think a big part of it is that people are overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed by, okay, I don't know which piece of this process I should implement first.
Okay.
And then when they do decide, okay, I'm going to implement this, this, and this, the follow-through seems to be lacking, if you will. The focus seems to be lacking. And one other thing is you have to spend money to make money. And I find that sometimes when you talk about investing whatever dollar amount it is, it could be $5,000, it could be $100,000. Whether it's hiring a new person and paying them whatever the going rate is, people sometimes are not willing to invest. They don't trust that their system is going to work to allow their rate of return on the back end. So I find that couple of things to be key in why people aren't as successful as they could be.
Well, I mean, clearly not everything, you know, not all of your investments, they pay off immediately. and some may not at all. But, you know, you're willing to make long-term investments in growth. One of the things that I'll ask you to comment on briefly is, you know, my sense is, Mike, that, you know, you would not say that you're a... you know, the master of technology, and yet you're willing to invest in technologies, and they've helped you grow. Among them, again, full disclosure, Agency Revolution. What do you see as the role of technology in today's insurance environment?
Well, of course, it's key. You've got to invest in technology. Back to one of my points is hiring the right people. I have a lot of young people on my staff. I really do, a lot of young people.
Right.
And having that, I've got young people that love technology, and they're constantly bringing me things, saying, "Mike, this we've got to do this." So it's, you know, it comes down to a want and a need. So I look at it, and we have Agency Revolution, AMS 360, which is a phenomenal tool. That's
right.
Our agency management system.
Mm-hmm.
We have a product called Breezy, and that helps with our recruiting. It is our recruiting.
It's right.
A phenomenal product. SharePoint, which is what we use instead of like Dropbox or
yeah.
something like that.
Right.
We have Hoopla, which is a tool that we use to, it's an accountability tool that we put up on all of our, we have, I don't know, 5 or 6 TV monitors in the office. And when you walk up to one of the TV monitors, you can, and it's real time, you can see who's the leader of the pack that day, that minute,
yeah.
far as
okay.
the sales agent.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right.
It's great.
Okay.
And then HiRise, I mentioned that before, that's to manage and manage your relationships with mortgage brokers.
Yeah,
and we have other things too, but those are just a couple that we use.
All right. Well, that might be a good segue to what I think is my last question, unless there's anything else, Mike, that you want to throw out there.
Go ahead, shoot the question.
Okay, so it's my billboard question. So imagine that. We're watching Insurance Highway, and everybody's all the insurance industry, agents and everybody in the insurance industry is driving down the highway at 65, 70 miles an hour. But Mike Matheson gets a billboard on the side of the road. And if there are too many words, nobody's going to be able to read it. So if you had the opportunity to deliver one strong statement, a message to this industry now, what would you say to the insurance industry?
That's a deep question. All right, so tongue in cheek first.
Okay.
Then I'll answer the question.
All right.
I would put it up there in the billboard, KFA every day.
Okay.
Right? We know that one.
I haven't heard that one for a while. I remember where that came from, and I'm not going to say it.
No, of course not.
This is a family podcast.
This is
a family
podcast. However, I don't know. That's a tough question, Michael.
Yeah.
So to the industry, I think if people would recognize, because again, I've got a lot of young people
right.
that we bring into our organization. It's not a get rich quick. It's get wealthy long term. And I tell this to my new agents all the time. I say, look, you're going to struggle the first year. You're going to put your head down on the desk, and you're going to have your face in your hands, and you're going to say to yourself, what have I done? Why am I in this industry?
Yeah.
This is really hard. But if you could stick with it the second year, by the time you get to the third year, you're going to be doing pretty good. By the time you get to your fifth year, if you have a work ethic and you are smart and you're humble and you're hungry, those are the three things, smart, hungry, and humble,
uh-huh.
I think you'll be very successful. So my billboard would say those three things, smart, hungry, humble.
Smart, hungry, humble. Okay, got it.
That's
all right.
What my billboard would say.
Okay.
KFA every day down at the bottom.
The K stands for kick, and I'm going to just shut up right now.
All right, come on now.
Okay. Well, Mike, it's been a pleasure spending time with you. Frequently at the end of a podcast, I'll ask the guest how people can reach out to them. I don't know if you want that. You're busy running your agency, even though you're only working 2 or 3 days a week.
Come on now. That's our secret.
Okay.
No, look, it's build a big agency and take more time off of the things that you want to do in life, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Because the reason we didn't have this conversation last week is you were in Costa Rica and Panama. So
that is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations on a great trip. If people do want to find out more about you, frankly, they can reach out to me. But I'm not, unless you want.
They could email me. I have no problem with someone emailing me.
All right. Email. Your email address is?
Mike, M-I-K-E, at CISSinsurance.com. CISS Insurance.
Got it. All right. as always, been a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you here in the casita. before too long, and at our next meeting in Pasadena.
Sounds great.
Have a great day. Thanks so much.
Michael, thank you. Have a good one. Take
you
care.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, and I'm going to share a few insights and observations about that conversation with Mike, and maybe some insights and observations about my insight on Mike Matheson himself. I've known this guy for 15 plus years, and I've worked very, very closely with his agency. He is, as I think he mentioned, he's a member of our mastermind group. So I see him three times a year. He never misses a meeting. And he's an exceptional business leader. So let me just tick off a few points, and you can do what you want to with it. Number one, the model. One of the things that's critical about Mike's operation is that he's very clear on his business model. And his business model, excuse me, is a little bit different than the average business model. That doesn't mean it's the only. It doesn't mean it's the best. But the point that I want to make is he has absolute clarity about what that model is. Now, that being said, he's also willing to tweak it. So if you watch the evolution of the development of his agency over the years, you would see that it has changed, it has modified, it has evolved. And while I see him three times a year, it's very common for him to share the new thing that he's doing, but it's all about enhancing the existing model he has. So obviously, my advice to you who are listening, be really clear on what the business model is that gets customers and keeps customers and keeps customers satisfied. That's job number one, which relates to the second point that I want to make, is that he perceives a significant part of his job as the engineer. So nobody else, he's got 80 plus people in his operation. Everybody has a job. Everybody knows what their job is. But Mike's job is different than everybody else's. He is the engineer that designed the model, and he could draw it on paper. He could talk about it, and it's very clear to everybody there. I've been there. I know. It's very clear what that model is, which gets to my next point, is that the other part of his job is leadership. He knows that. And this relates to a sort of another critical point. Again, this is not law, this is an insight. Mike, as with many of my most successful, fastest growing clients, he's not a producer. He hasn't sold an insurance policy in I don't know how long. And so he's made it very clear. And you know, that may not happen immediately, and not everybody may not want to do that. That's okay. Pick your model. But he's very clear that his job is leadership of that team and not selling policies. Now, for some of you that may be difficult. You might be the largest commercial lines producer in your agency. However, simply recognize that generally speaking, that scales up to a point and then stops. And that there is a paradigm shift that I'll ask you to think deeply about, which is moving from that point where you are a rainmaker, where you're talking to people about insurance, and then you move to that point where you're not a rainmaker. You're not talking about people, you know, to clients or prospects about insurance. You are an entrepreneur, or as I like to say, an insurapreneur, and you are building a business, and that is job number one. Next point is probably overlapping. A critical element here is that Mike did not talk a lot about the tactical approach. Certainly, there are techniques and tricks that he applies, but each and every one of them, and I know what a lot of them are aligned around a singular strategy, which is built on this model. And so I'll share a little bit of insight about this. One of the things that Mike and I often talk about is a maxim. Maybe I made it up, maybe I didn't, but in this channel, in the agency channel, I won't go into a lot of detail on this, but the money's in the relationship. The money is not in lead generation. The money is not in converting how many new customers you're going to get this year. The money is in developing, earning long-term, deep relationships. That's where you're going to get maximum customer lifetime value. And so he his model is built around that, and everybody knows that. An example of that, as he said, we don't write monoline homeowners. So, word of advice on this one is also be very clear. Strategy trumps tactics every single time. Tactics without strategy, by strategy, I mean focusing on those one or two absolutely core objectives, which are thoughtfully conceived. Focusing on those which then deliver a cascade of positive benefits for your agency. Unfortunately, I know that in these times of turbulence, when there's all this change in the world of marketing and digital marketing and consumer behavior and new competitors, it's very easy for the marketing gurus to say, do this, do that, and for people to swing from one shiny thing to the next. That's can be a tremendous waste of energy, can be exhausting. First thing is get very, very clear on your strategic objective. The next point, Mike has in years past opened his agency and people said, God, I want to see what you're doing. And so he'd invite him over and he'd spend time with him and then follow up with him later and they wouldn't follow through. First of all, I am not encouraging people to deluge Mike with questions. That's not fair. If you want to reach out to him by email, he did share how you were able to do that. But the critical point here is Mike and I share a concern that so many lack the ability to execute. Now, number one, you don't have to do everything at once. He's been cultivating this model for a long time. But you do have to start with a vision and then step one. You got to have some sense of where you're going and then step one. And in these times, the world's changing fast. Consumer behavior is changing faster than ever. New competitors, new competitive channels are entering into the insurance space, and we don't know what some of them are going to look like. We don't know how some of them are going to behave. But I can assure you that given the funding that many of them have and given the connection that technologies can make between companies and consumers, that they're going to be behaving differently. And so that does call on us to become very, very clear on our strategic directive and please execute fast. Occasionally be willing to make a mistake, but be a leader, execute fast. Next point is, as you see, Mike did come to the conclusion some time ago that technology allows companies to scale. And of course, our glorious sponsor, Agency Revolution, is a technology company. Mike is a user of that. And so, you know, in full disclosure, be aware of that. Also be aware that in a conversation that I had with Mike, he once mentioned to me that his retention went up 4 points when he began to execute one of the campaigns that was embedded in the Agency Revolution communication system. So technology is not an expense. Technology is an investment that allows you to scale. I'll make one final point, which is that his approach to the development of this model and its growth has come from a fundamental principle, which is that he's building wealth, not income. Now, his income isn't suffering, believe me. But over the years, he has been willing to invest in people. He's been willing to invest in training. He's been willing to invest in a little bit of an unusual model. He's been willing to invest in technology, and the only justification for that is not the income you get today. It's the income that keeps giving, which we would call wealth. So, that being said, thanks for spending a moment with me. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me, michael@agencyrevolution.com. If you have any suggestions for future speakers, reach out to me, michael@agencyrevolution.com. If you would like a copy of my State of the Industry report, just ask me, michael@agencyrevolution.com. I'll get you a free copy. All right, that's it for today. Have a wonderful the rest of your day. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.